is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The Abraham Accords. Malcolm Hohenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, is with me. And we welcome David Aronson, Deputy Director for Israel at the Abraham Accords Peace Institute, former senior advisor to Israel's Minister of Regional Cooperation. David, it is in Jerusalem, lucky man. And David, there are a series of events 2 years ago during the depths of the pandemic that we celebrate as the Abraham Accords. Please help me remember what those dates were between August and September. Good day to you, David.
Good evening from Jerusalem, John and Malcolm. It's always a pleasure to speak to both of you. This is a historic time of year for Israel and for the Middle East in general, as we celebrate the two-year anniversary of the Abraham Accords, which was the largest breakthrough for peace in recent times in this region. August 13th, which we marked just a few weeks ago, was the second anniversary of the announcement of the Abraham Accords and the peace treaty between Israel and the UAE. That announcement came following a phone call, a public phone call, between then Crown Prince and now President of the UAE, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed, then Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and then President of the United States, Donald Trump. After that, a few weeks later, Bahrain joined the Abraham Accords. And on September 15th, which is coming up in around 2 weeks from now, we'll celebrate the second anniversary of the signing of the Abraham Accords on the White House lawn, with the UAE, Bahrain, and Israel, brokered by the United States. It was a historic day and a very nice day in Washington. Despite the pandemic, despite all the sad things that were happening, this was something like a bright light in the darkness that really showed that if countries come together, so much can be achieved. And it was a day that brought a lot of happiness during a difficult time.
Malcolm?
Well, we have a lot of fronts here, David, that really need explication. One is, how would you assess the original goals and the implementation and particularly the impact of the Accords have had on trade defense between the countries that are signatories?
So on trade, we've seen remarkable things. We've seen the trade numbers between Israel and the UAE go very high into the billions of dollars in the last 2 years. We've seen similar good trade numbers with Israel and Bahrain, Israel and Morocco. But even more so, we've seen their positive influence on trade with other countries in the region. For example, in the first year after the Abraham Accords, trade between Israel and Jordan went up by 83%. And similarly, trade between Israel and Egypt went up by close to 50% as well. So we see that even though we have a cold peace with Egypt and Jordan, the warmth of the Abraham Accords created a positive impact that increased the trade between Israel and Egypt and Jordan dramatically. We also see a positive effect in terms of trade relations between Israel and Europe due to the Abraham Accords. Now, what do I mean? For many years, if European countries wanted to do trade with Israel, and they want to send something that was either too big to send on a plane or too heavy to send on a plane, they would have to send it by land or by sea. For example, we'll say Germany with German cars, Mercedes, Volkswagen. They would have to send it, if they want to send it to the Gulf, they have to send it through the Mediterranean Sea to the port of Beirut or through Turkey or through the Suez Canal because they couldn't send it through Israel. Anything that was shipped through Israel to the Gulf, through the port of Haifa or through the port of Ashdod, it was stamped as having gone through Israel. And due to the boycott laws in the UAE and in Bahrain, it wasn't accepted there. So whenever they wanted to do trade routes, they had to do it through another country, which was usually more dangerous. It was a more dangerous trade route, especially when you're talking about going through Beirut and Lebanon that eventually goes eastward towards Damascus and Syria. Keep in mind, you had the Syrian civil war. You had to pay for a lot of security for those shipments. Also going through Turkey, also going through Suez, passing by the waters of Yemen. But now, because the boycott laws against Israel have been abolished both in UAE and in Bahrain, these countries in Europe can ship to the Gulf through Israel, through the port of Haifa, going through Israel, Jordan, all the way to the Gulf. It's cheaper, it's safer, it's more efficient, and they get a bigger return on their investment when they do trade through Israel to the Gulf. So we see that as a result, Israel's trade with Europe is expanding and is going up because of the Abraham Accords. And that's amazing because Israel also had a difficult relationship with Europe for many years. And we see that thanks to the Abraham Accords, that's changing.
David, you've been watching this story very carefully for 2 years. What are the biggest surprises or the biggest surprise to you so well informed?
So there have been several things that surprised me. I mean, I was optimistic when I first heard about the announcement. And I think the fact that this has moved forward so quickly and we've seen it become so warm is what's surprising to me. I thought this would take a bit longer to get done. But we see that there are already direct flights. We have visa waiver agreements between Israel and the UAE. And now with Morocco, they have an e-visa agreement for Israelis to visit Morocco without a need for a formal visa. The travel is amazing. The tourism is going up. I was on a flight to Morocco a few weeks ago, and the flight was full. That's amazing. You see that the peoples want to come together and learn from one another, get to know each other, and to see what everyone has to offer. And that's amazing because you see with the other countries we made peace with, it wasn't like that. It took very slow to develop those relationships. This is going very quickly. There's a lot of excitement and there's a momentum, which is good. And when there's a momentum, it creates incentives for other countries to join. When you see how much everyone else is benefiting in areas of technology, in areas of trade and investment, in areas of agriculture, or water, you'll want the same. And the fact that the acceleration here has been so rapid, I think that's what's most surprising to me, how fast this has gone. And it makes me optimistic that if things are done right, and if we have the right methods in place to move this relationship forward, and we have the people doing the right things, then I'm optimistic we can bring even more countries. It's just a matter of time before that happens.
We have a couple of minutes.
Which ones do you think would be next and the likely next steps in expanding the Abraham Accords? Do we see Sudan, Chad, others joining as well in active participation?
So Sudan and Chad, it's interesting you mentioned those two. Sudan signed the Abraham Accords. We don't have a formal peace treaty with them yet, but they did sign the Abraham Accords. And it's important to do everything we can to make sure that they feel welcome in the Abraham Accords. Sudan has a lot of potential, particularly in the agricultural front, and they can work together with Israel and also with Morocco to produce wheat and other products in Sudan to become a major exporter. Keep in mind that you have the Russia-Ukraine crisis, so there's a shortage of wheat. That can be done in Sudan. And if Israel and the other Abraham Accords countries work together with Sudan to create tangible benefits, and I think we can reach that actual peace agreement with Sudan. But they did sign the Abraham Accords, and that was very important. With Chad, it's important to remember that we had a normalization agreement with Chad back already in 2019, before the Abraham Accords. That was negotiated by Israel's then National Security Advisor, Meir Ben-Shabbat. Netanyahu, at the time, traveled to meet with then President Idris Deby, who was assassinated, unfortunately, around a year or two ago. And we have a relationship with Chad. We have an ambassador. Israel has an ambassador who presented his credentials to the president of Chad. And we have diplomatic relations with them, but we need to take it to the next level. We need to make sure those relations become business to business, people to people. We can do so much to make the quality of life better in countries in Africa like Chad, like Sudan.
David Aronson, Deputy Director for Israel at the Abraham Accords Peace Institute. Malcolm Honlein, I'm John Battle.